Morning, Boker Tov. Today's Amud in a Raisa is Psachim Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Psachim Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. We left off Lamed Vav Amud Beis towards the bottom of the page. Tanra Banan Lechem Aini. So that's roughly about 70 lines off from the bottom of the page, right before where the lines get wide. But just before that, we owe, ready for the past couple of days, it's three lines before the lines get wide. We owe from the ready yesterday's Amud Beis, or 2 days ago's Amud Beis, Lamed Beis, we were discussing the idea of tevel. We brought a pasuk to say that tevel cannot be used for matzah. We brought a drush on the pasuk, and they're shouldn't be bothered by the question. I think we mentioned the question, but didn't get into the various answers, which we'll go over quickly, that who needs a pasuk? It's a mitzvah b'avera. If you can use tevel for matzah, it's a mitzvah b'avera. And we know one cannot do a mitzvah via an avera, so who needs a separate pasuk to be a mayat that he can't use tevel for matzah? So the ritual brings from Taisvis, who addressed the question already, and Taisvis is a big say, a mitzvah baba vera. It's only when a mitzvah is l'ratzas, like a carbon. A carbon is like a ritzah. Of course, every mitzvah brings someone close to Hashem. So you have to know the exact lashon, but the idea of a ritzah that has a ratzim of Hashem, lulav is put on that list. Very appropriate. Coming up, right? We're with less than 2 weeks before Sukkot, right? In the time to go by a lulav. Lulav is considered taking a lulav, shaking a lulav, something which creates a kind of a ritzu of Hashem. So those type of mitzvah of avera is a problem. However, other mitzvahs that don't have that concept of ritzu, I'm not sure what the exact list is going to be, but that does not relegate it to mitzvah of avera. And a matzah, apparently, if you want to suggest, would not be necessarily on the list. That is an idea Ritzu brings to Taisvis. Ritzu gives a different answer that only on mitzvahs that come via an avera that you wouldn't be able to have the mitzvah without the avera. So, for example, if you steal something, you can steal it, you wouldn't have it. If you didn't have it, you can't do the mitzvah. So that's considered mitzvah of avera. But in our case, tevel, you don't need the avera of tevel to have the mitzvah. You need tevel, yeah. Maybe percentage, you happen to have a drop more grain, but it's not the point. I have the grains regardless. I made the matzah regardless. Poof, there was an avera done. The person happens to have avera while doing a mitzvah, but the avera wasn't an integral step of the mitzvah. It wasn't a necessary step of the mitzvah. Then you know it's a mitzvah of avera. Only when the mitzvah came, only like via, durch the avera, only through the avera came the mitzvah, is there a mitzvah of avera. There's another svar that the ritva brings. But the reason I wanted to focus on the machlokes briefly is because there's actually a very interesting discussion in the Achorinim about this. The Shagazariah in Siman Sadivav brings that we wouldn't say, he won't say as follows. He won't say that the case of areas where you only have matzav tevel. So Enochami normally is a concern mitzvah of Avera. But now we have a new problem. We have a new concept. You have a case of the only matzah is not sure you have tons of matzah, and some of it is matzav tevel, and you want to use it? No, mitzvah of Avera. If I only have matzav tevel, if I don't eat this matzah, that would be mevatel mitzvah say deraisa of matzah. So does my assay deicha alaisa say? Does that power work to say I could use a mitzvah haba ba'avera? So I would have thought that yes, that at least is enough. The assay deicha alaisa element that power creates the mitzvah deicha mitzvah is mitzvah ba'avera, won't be a problem of here. That is the havmina kamash bana pasuk that you don't say mitzvah haba, but you don't say that tevel is good. That's the shakas I learned. So our samer comes on and says chas v'shalom. There's a fundamental thing to say that assay deicha alaisa comes by actions. When there's an action, when breaking a bone, a beharis makamila, so doing a cutting off the mila, which causes the part to cut off beharis, which is iser in the Torah of getting rid of tzaras, of cutting off of tzaras. Or again, breaking a bone by kar pesach, theoretically, is a discussion about whether you're allowed to break the bone or not. It's a famous base discussion in assay deicha alaisa. Those are all actions. So your assay is deicha alaisa say, and your assay says, do the assay, even though you're being over on the list say. But when it comes to achila, we never find, says our smech, we never say, asay the chlil say, to say something which is usher to eat, but let's say, and a misasay is going to push aside this let's say to eat and allow you to eat. A fundamental thing says our smech, this is a cloud. When it comes to saying the chlil say, it's by meisim, by actions, not by eating. We don't say asay the chlil say, being day chlil say of eating, and therefore that cannot be the pshat of here. And the Rosh Mech himself points out that even though he's arguing on the Shagazariah, the Yushalmi does seem to go like the Shagazariah. Yushalmi discusses by Matzik Zula, it brings this conversation in about Asay Teich Lesay, but the Chara, according to himself, that says Rosh Mech, it's Achila. When it comes to food, it shouldn't pass. The fact that Yushalmi has a conversation does seem to indicate, like the Shagazariah, like his answer. He wants an answer over here. We're talking about this is the only matzah you have. And that's something that's above here is not a problem. And I say, let's say, would it be happy that comes into play? And our Samech saying, no, I say, let's say, come into play over here. But we see that the concept does come up already in the Yushalmi. Okay, but it's a very interesting topic whether I say, let's say, applies even by a bar achila. One last answer to the question. I mean, there's more answers. But one more question, one more answer that when we learned in Daf, one of the members of the Chabura Daf had a beautiful chap. There's a Tesis in Sukkah. Tesis says that the idea of Mitzvah Bavavera, that he can't be Yetzir Mitzvah, is he did Durabbanan. Mitzvah Bavavera is a Psul Durabbanan. It's not Psul Durabbanan, it's Psul Durabbanan. So that's a simple. The Gemara in Sukkah over there, I mean, it is a Tesis in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah discusses why do I need a separate drasha of Lechem and to say that the Luv is with Lechem, but Luv is Gazel, Luv is Gazel. Why not Mitzvah Bavavera? It's a conversation. So Tesis, Tesis of Testing is, and a Luv, that's not Luv Gazel, that's in the first barak. But Tesis of Testing of Aleph, if I remember correctly, and Tesis also Luv Gazel, they discuss this question. I think it's of Testing of Aleph. Tesis points out and says that the din of Mitzvah Bavavera is only Drabbanan. And therefore, you need a separate drasha to tell you that Luv Gazel is passed on a Deraisa level. Right? But the Drabbanan, Udwanachami, passed separately, as Mitzvah Bavera says, this is actually said by Pshe Mamre, by Lizer. Lizer Josephic from Muncie, he's on our share every day in the Zoom since COVID. So he wanted to suggest that maybe that's why I'm here also. You need a pasuk to tell me that by tevel is no good for matzah, because on a derais level, I want to tell you it's no good. If without the pasuk, it could be still good on a derais level, only not be good on a derabban level. Mitzvah babavir is only a rabbinic problem. So according to Tesis, the kash never starts. Very geshmak answer, a nice half. Okay, I know that was all from the sugya of tevel. Let's jump back into what we're up to. I know we're also short of time. We'll dive in today. Okay, Sazimar, Tanabar. Lechem ayini, again, three lines of the wide lines on Vav Beis. Lechem ayini, Pasuk says that you have to eat lechem ayini for matzah. Prat lechalot lashisha. We've already discussed many different taiches in lechem ayini. We discussed it's poor in ingredients. We discussed it's also it's hard to digest, and therefore it's considered like poor man's bread because it stays in the body for a long time. We also discussed lechem sha'ainu of the rabbi. We say magen on the mishpacha shalom we had about magen, about when we say you have to say magen and halal on the matzah. Is it a did that all the matzahs to be on the table? Only three matzahs is enough, even though the matzahs also are nichla, they're yetzah, even if they're not actually on the table. But we spoke out that's telling and shalom whether it's a did in the matzah or it did in the magen. Okay, by the way, the Gemara is being a bright snare with a new drasha in the Lechem Ayini. Prat that comes to exclude lechalot lashisha, bread that was chalot, let's be scalded, or ashisha. So a few different taitshim in the Rishonim, what exactly chalot means, the scalded bread. Ramban learns it means that the flour was scalded. Before you kneaded the dough, the flour was scalded, which created a very white, we spoke yesterday, that having a very white flour is considered a big maila. It was a way of making the flour very white. That's Ramban. Others learn that it means that it was like boiled. The flour was, you scalded it with hot water. It was like a bagel. I think like you boiled it before you baked it. So you boiled it before you bake it. That is the Rabbeinu Tam. Actually, Rabbeinu Tam learned that b'chlal, it's only boiled and not baked at all, which is a shver. The other shenim argue and say, what do you mean? If it's not baked, it's not bread. If it's boiled, it's pasta. I don't know what do we call it. It's not baked. It's not bread. But Rabbeinu Tam seems to know that it's just fully cooked. Not boiled at all, not baked at all, just boiled. And then you have an in-between sheet, the Rabbi Ephraim, who says that it was like fried in oil, wine, honey, before it was baked. You did both. You kind of fried it, and then you baked it. That's more like the description of bagels. Okay, fine. So that is the chalot. And ashisha, we're going to describe soon what it is. It was we'll see soon, it's a very large bread. It's a very chashava bread. So yachalayt was saying that you cannot lechem ayin. He's a steer to those two. Yachalayt and mechavasa pasadra. So you think you'd only use pasadra, which is very coarse bread with a lot of bran. It's exactly opposite spectrum. Time lemer matzah matzriba. It's marbe. Even breads that aren't mamish coarse bread, even breads that are white bread, are still you can use that for your. I'm calling it bread. We typically don't associate bread with matzah. As long as it becomes chametz, that can be used for matzah as well. Afilu kamatzah shleima. Even like matzah shleima, which are certainly very white. That could be used, his regular matzahs all year round were very white, his bread was white, that could be used for matzah on Pesach as well. And came out of the Choyini, proud of the Choyini, the Choyini is coming to exclude scalded bread and Ashisha. We're saying Ashisha is a steer to Ayini. Ashisha is a very chashav bread. Where do we see that Ashisha is a lashna chashivas? Chalas lechem achas ve'eshpar echad v'ashisha achas from Rabbi Chanan Rabba. Eshpar means ech meshisha par. Eshpar was a piece of meat that was distributed to each person, was getting a piece of meat that was 1/6 of a bull, nice chunk of meat. And ashisha is ech meshisha be'efa. Ashisha is a loaf of bread that's 1/6 of an efa, which the Farshim explained anywhere from 6 to 8 pounds of flour. If you ever notice when people make challah, they only take challah usually when they have about 5 pounds of flour. And that 5 pounds of flour typically makes 7 loaves, 8 loaves. Over here we're talking about 6 to 8 pounds of flour and making 1 loaf. You ever see those pictures of those massive 10-foot-long loaves? You're talking about a very chashav loaf, a very big loaf. I'm talking about loaves that is 5-6 pounds. It's a huge loaf. Okay, pliki, that's not shisha bread. I'm saying it's not good for Pesach. But pliki the Shmuel, Aris the Shmuel, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel's holding a taich over there. Ashisha wasn't bread at all. Ashisha was garbed the chamra. It was a jug of wine. The silva ayve ashisha anavim because it's the pasuk of ashisha anavim. So Shmuel just rechana ba'abes taich that pasuk over there that ashisha is a huge piece of bread. Echam ashisha beifa. That's the lashon of ashisha. Argues the Shmuel that says ashisha has something to do with the measurement of wine, nothing to do with bread. Okay, but we excluded ashisha and cholot from matzah basil. Turn around. Even if you pass over Pesach, you cannot use pass over Pesach. We're going to teach right now pass over as thick, a very thick. Over off means like thick. We're going to teach that's a simple teach. The rest is going to be an alternative shot on Amaralf, but we're going to stick with that for now. You can't make pass over Pesach. Tibi b'shamay, b'sil tav Amaralf, b'sil matimer, b'sil says mutter to make pass over Pesach. The kama at this point, the understanding is the problem pass over is what's the problem with thick bread. I mean, the problem could be twofold. Based on our prior Gemara, it could be an issue of being thick bread. It's too chashev, it's not lechmaini. Or it could be a more simple issue. Simple issue that what? That you scared part of it to become comments. Actually, this Gemara is one of the major sources for the minig of Gebrakst. The minig of Gebrakst. What's the idea of Gebrakst? The idea of Gebrakst is you're scared that some of it didn't get fully cooked. Now, armats are very thin. Armats are so thin. You go through this Gemara, you see the Gemara is talking about Ava being a tefach thick, like a loaf of bread that we have today, right? But our gemaras are extremely thin, but the concern is that maybe some flour in the matzah, for some reason, got protected from the oven, didn't get baked, and then when it comes in contact with water, it's going to become chametz thick. So that's the concern of gemaras, and the basis of it is perhaps from our gemara. They shtel to our gemara as the source for that minig. Okay. How thick is pasavah that bisil is being matar marvuna tefach? She can't be seen lechem upon him tefach. A proof to the idea of a tefach thick not being a problem with chametz is because lechem upon him was a tefach thick. And lechem upon him, we know, like many breads of menachos and breads related to kabbarnas, had to be matzah, not chametz. So it was a tefach thick. I'm again calling it matzah, meaning not the, what we think of matzah, we think of a thin cracker. It has to be matzah, that it didn't become chametz. So you see, you can have a tefach thick, it's still not be chametz. Ask the Gemara, this is a chazar of a Gemara we had yesterday. Imkei Amar Maskal Beisef, Imamar Bezrizim. You bring a proof in the Lechem Apanim, which is done by Zrizim, the Kanim. Yem Beshen is Zrizim. The average person in Klai Yisrael makes matzah. He's not a Zaris, so you're going to allow that thickness by a regular person as well. Imamar Pasamela, Visei Pasamela. Pasamela means Lechem Apanim, which is well worked bread. Why was the bread well worked? Because the Gemara Menachem says that they used to have 300 rubbings and 500 poundings with the fist, like they did a lot of work to it, and which prevents it from becoming chametz. So remember pasah mela, remember pasah shena mela. You can say the same thing about regular pas, that regular dough that people make doesn't have all that action being done to it. And remember beit mivashim, we said about the dry wood. Remember the wood that was used to make the mikdash was very specifically dry wood. That's how they actually used to make a sudas. There's a whole machlokes what the salvation of Tu B'Av is, and one of the explanations of the salvation of Tu B'Av is that's when they stopped gathering wood for the Beis Hamikdash. Why did they stop then? Because that's the heat of that's the height of the dry season. It's the end of the midpoint of the summer where the dry season is at the end, and after that the wood doesn't dry as much. We want to have the most perfect dry wood. So the Beis Hamikdash, they're using perfect dry wood. By the way, total side point. So why do you make it so? That's the end of the dry season. Why do you make a suda then? Because the bottom line is the mitzvah is complete, and this is the concept. One of the sources of making a suda for a siyum. You complete something, you make a suda, right? So over there, they completed the mitzvah, the annual mitzvah of gathering wood, they made a siyum. That's Rashi's, by the way, Rebbe Geshem says over there, total side point, but it's very Gishmak Rebbe Geshem. You know why they made a siyum? Because now that they're not busy gathering wood, they're more time to learn Torah. They made a suda, not a siyum, a celebration, not because they completed the mitzvah, because now they can, listen, you have to, we of course, you know, Torah is limited, Hamanas Lassa, so you can't shun a mitzvah just to learn Torah. Even though Tom Torah's got a kulam, you gotta do the mitzvahs. But Lemaisa, be able to go back and learn Torah, that was a reason. Remember Negershim, he's talking about Rishim. Remember Negershim saying that they used to be able to go back to learn Torah, and therefore they made a siddur. Total side point again, but the point is, the wood was very dry. And it was the end of, it was the middle of when they, Tu B'Av, when they stopped gathering the wood. Yes? Party. Okay. That's how excited they were for learning. You have to. Okay. It says in the Gemara, you remember Beitzim Achim, so you can say the same thing about Beitzim Achim, but Beitzim aren't so dry. You remember Tanacham, you say this by Tanacham, by a hot oven. The oven, the Beis Hamikdash, was very hot, Lechem Apanim. You remember Tanacham, you can say the same thing about an oven that is cool compared to the oven in the Beis Hamikdash, which was constantly going. You remember Tanar Matches, the Tanar in the Beis Hamikdash, with Lechem Apanim, was a metal oven. We know metal conducts heat. Yeah, I remember Tanur Shecheres. The average person has a Tanur. It's only made of earthenware, not Cheres. So, meaning very nice that the Lechem Apanim was a tefach thick and then it became chametz. But we have four or five different milas they had over there that not the average person doesn't have, and therefore don't bring a proof from over there. Amar Rebbe Abba. So Rabbi Rabbah says, again, Mesil is Matir Pas Ava on Pesach. And we said half the thing is Ava. Ava says it's Tefach, like Lechem Panim, as Rafuna says. The Mura report a question on the comparison of Lechem Panim. You have 5 milos over by Lechem Panim. I think it's roughly 5. That over other bakings, they can't rely on those. Okay, bottom line is, so Lechem, we accept Rabbi Yosef's tying against Ravuna. Now, we know that Basil is not going to allow a tefach thick. So, new. So, how thick would he allow? I asked Rabbi Bichon, too tight, just what Yichud means. Either means I asked him privately, or others say what it means is I asked him to give like an explicit, like a clear, emistic answer. So, not that every answer is not emist, but like, I wanted to, I clearly got this information. Umanu, which Rebbe did he ask? Remember, he said, I asked Rebbe. Who's his Rebbe? Rav. Ignami, Rabbi Abba said, in the name of Rav. Then Rav was the one that asked the question. Shiltos is Rabbi Yechud. Umanu, who's Rav's Rabbi? Rabbi Nakadish. Now, what was the question? My Pasavah. So what is Pasavah? Remember we said before that Pasavah, we thought means thick bread. Now, how thick a tefach like Lechem Panim? But we fell off that because it can't be compared to Lechem Panim. So he asked him a new question. What is Pasavah exactly? And he said, no, you know what Pasavah is? Pas Meruba. Many breads, more than what's in your fiyat. So it's forgetting about thickness. We're not busy with thickness anymore. We're busy with amounts. You're doing a lot more than was needed for Yomtiv. Big enough green, of course, is the first conversation was a Pesach conversation. Mecham, it's not relevant to the second Shuas. Now he's saying you do more than we need for Yomtiv. It's not just a Pesach conversation. The Gemara doesn't address it right away. It's a conversation for Yomtiv in general. It says Gemara, first of all, why do you call Pas Because there's a lot of dough. It's thick during the dough. The dough itself is thick, but you make many loaves of bread more than what you need. The Pas Ruba, Pas Ava, Karle. You wonder why you call the Pas Ava Sedim Ruba? Because in that place, that location, they call a lot thick. They call thick loaves when you have lots of loaves. Okay. My time, now, why are we saying that Beishami says Asr? Why would Beishami say it's Asr to bake many loaves of Yotav? The Chokhut Tzirch is not needed. So, my Pesach, the Yotav Nami. Why was this conversation Dafka about Pesach? Beishami should be bothered by Shavuos and Sukkot as well. Other Yotav Rashana, other Yotav as well. He should be bothered. Now, the Chayre, you shouldn't bake more than what you need. Yeah. Says the Gemara, on Yadav. And a Chanami, right, we spoke in the past that in these Gemaras, we don't tell us it's foreign concept. We don't make matzah on Pesach. It's so scary. Back in the day, they used to also make food on Pesach. Make, like, matzah on Pesach. And a Chanami, Faitana b'yamtav shel Pesach kai. You're right. Beishami was talking about all Yamtavim. But the Tana that quoted was quoting it. He was talking about Lachas of Yamtav. And when he taught this machlekes, lachos of Pesach, and therefore it seemed like he said therefore he focused on Pesach. But this din of Einef and Pas Ava, but Pesach, if you notice, if you go back to the bottom of Lamvan Beis, if you notice, in parentheses it says, Einef and Pas Ava, in parentheses, B'yamtiv, and our guess is, B'Pesach. But that's the whole shot of the Shach V'Daya. Because the Tana, according to this answer, he was talking about Yantav in general, but he was talking about Alachas of Pesach, so he said Pesach, but he meant Yantav in general. Tanya Namachi, Beishama Emrim, Einef Pas Ava, B'yamtiv, Ubisal Matir. Bisham says, don't make pass of a thick bread on Yomtiv and Bisal's Matir. So in Allah, it's more very interesting. So how thick do we make our matzahs? We make our matzahs as Ashkenaz, especially very thin. It's hard to make a little thicker, like the size of lafas. They can make matzahs, it depends where. In other communities near us, usually the matzahs are pretty thin too. But in some communities, the matzahs, by Sfaradim, are thicker. But the price we discussed that, L'chariah, a tefach we see in our Gemara is no good. Lachem Apanam was a tefach. It could be made still matzah, but that's too thick with our procedures, our methods of making it, baking to assume it's considered still okay. But less than that, seems like from the Gedolei Pais Committee, from the Rama already, seems less than that's okay. The Pais can bring Lamaisa that one should not make a matzah thicker than the thickness of a finger, but it's still pretty thick. It's thicker than our lafas. Our lafas are maybe a third of a finger, right? Still pretty thick. They shouldn't make the matzahs thicker than a finger. Of course, we do much less than that. Okay. Tanaban. Yaitzim Pasakia. Will create the matzah, the mitzvah matzah pasuk with white bread, vadra, or with coarse flour, coarse bread, with srikin amitzurim, with bread that was decorated with srikin, has like designs in it. B'pesach, afa b'shamur enay srikin mitzvah b'pesach, and you could be able to all these on Pesach, and even though they said you cannot make the decorated srikin on Pesach itself, you can still be yetsa on Pesach with this type of matzah. Amar b'yuda, davar zeshal basis ben zayin l'chachamim, b'mamru enay srikin mitzvah b'pesach. Why talk the chachamim say you can't make this design decorated, you know, crackers or matzahs on Pesach, because the woman needs the dough, she spends time in it decorating it to make the proper shape and the proper designs, and it allows milchametz, so therefore you don't make it on
Pesach. Amalem, FGSN, but first, you can make it with a stamp. You can make a stamp and do it right away. There's like, you know, you have like a form that you just stamp the dough and you get it right away. So it doesn't take more time. Amalai, Yemikos, we can assume, speak of Isis, Maturim. So, okay, so the Chumash is saying that all speak in Aser, but the speaking of Isis, Amutur, because she has a stamp, meaning the Chum made a general gazer, since most people, Rashi explains, don't have a stamp. Therefore, they made a rule that the Sirikin breads on Pesach should not be eaten because we're scared that people are going to make it without that stamp. Amar Blazer, Rabbi Tzadik, back in the Baisa. And they brought him matzah that was decorated with the Sirikin. Amarti, Abulei Kacham Chamim. I said, Father, didn't the Chum say in a Sirikin Mitzvah Pesach? You don't make decorate Sirikin on Pesach. Amali, Bni, Loi Shako Adam Amru, El Shenach Taimim Amru. They weren't referring to private people, they're referring to the bakers. Homemade, the ones that are made by the Balabayas at home, are Takar Mutter. The idea is because the baker spends more time he's doing it for sale purposes, therefore he makes more time to make it perfect. Whereas, homemade, you make the decoration quickly. If it works, great. If it takes, doesn't take, you're not so as particular, and therefore not concerned about the matzah becoming chametz. Some Rabbi Tzadik said, his answer, Rabbi Tzadik's answer to his son, Rabbi Lazar, was as follows. On the contrary, they were referring to the bakers that were aser. It's called adam et aser. Bad rabba. The bakers, those are okay. The idea would be the opposite idea because the bakers are experts at what they do. They do chick-chack, they do it quickly. Others were more concerned. And the ones that he was eating obviously was from the baker and therefore it was okay, according to the second version. Amrab, Yasi, Isis Krikin come in Makikin. You make thin, like wafer like Sikrikin, then a Sikrikin in Gluskais. But you can't make the thick ones. You can make Sikrikin when it's very thin, but you can't make when it's thick. The idea is thin dough doesn't rise so fast, and therefore we're less concerned that the Sikrikin is going to cause it to become chametz. Whereas thicker dough takes more time to rise, and therefore it's more of a concern. Then we're going to get to a new topic of challah. We'll just start it. We'll start it quickly. But before we get into it, just a quick point that it's really a side discussion. You know, we're not going to spend too much time on it. Maybe we'll have more time. We'll get it later in the week. But we're talking about decorations. Eating food decorations, is there a problem cutting letters, cutting decorations, biting into it? So on a base level, biting into these things are typically mutter, with one's mouth not considered a meichik, but breaking it with a knife with one's hand, that can be more problematic. Please enter for more time in a subsequent share. We will get back to that topic. It is a topic. It's really related to every Shabbos, related to Shabbos in general, letters and the like. Okay, Tanabon. It's already discussed by the Rishonim about baking the form into the cake itself, or putting the form on top of it, if it's raised, if it's not raised. Okay. Tanabon, Hasav Ganim, sponge bread. Hadav Shanim, bread with honey. Very appropriate for this time of the year. Askrikin, wafers. Chalas Amasras, like a loaf that's made in a pan. Vamaduma, or a mixture of chuma and chulin, patur min chala. All these are exempt from chala. Mechas, Mr. Ash, what does it mean a chala made in a pan? A Mishulevi, Sechol Shabbat. And that's like the scalded bread of the Balabat. And the point is, all these are missing in the status of bread. Maybe the cakes or the like, they're missing in the status of bread. They're not considered regular bread in Pantu Chala. We won't let them stop. I see it's late for the Elam. Amr, Rishakish, Halal Maisa Ilfasain. Rishakish says, no, these are considered, Rishakish says, these are considered Maisa Ilfas. They're not considered bread, and therefore they're taka exempt. Rabbi Echon Amar, myself is chayavin. Rabbi Echon says that myself is these products of the frying pan are chayavim in challah. Halal l'shasam chama. The items that we just listed in this Mishnah, the Mishnah I didn't actually quote, that's Mishnah, of course, right at the beginning of challah, the Mishnah that we just said a minute ago, Asuf Ganim, Atuf Shanim, those are actually baked in the sun. That's why they're exempt. But Enachami, if they're baked in like a frying pan, they still be chayav. So we're going to have Machlaikis, we're going to focus on Machlaikis' name, Rabbi Echon Rishlakish, we'll pick up for tomorrow, Mitzvah, I know we're a little behind, pick up tomorrow, Mitzvah, in this discussion about what's considered chayav and challah or not. Have a wonderful day.